Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's JAS call on Tuesday, the 3rd of August. We have Avery Doria, Rafik Damak, Boudouin Chombe, Elaine Pries, Sébastien Bachelet, Alan Greenberg, Evan Leibovich, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Andrew Mack. From staff, we have Carla Valente and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies from Tijani Benjima, Tony Harris, Alex Gakuru. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Avery and Evan.
Okay, thank you. Evan, should I start?
Go ahead.
Okay, since I've been messing around with everything, it's probably most realistic that I do. First of all, on the agenda, I am suggesting a change from our normal agenda, which is basically, okay, we've done the roll call, now we're doing the agenda review, to quickly go through and some of the milestones and in the slides in front of you, Carla did mention some stuff about the milestones just to show us what kind of pressure we're under. Then I'd like to walk through what I did with the comments this morning, and I apologize for my lateness in doing anything, was I took the comments that Carla had done the brief abstractions for and tried to sort them into what was more like a WT1 and what was more like a WT2 and a group of others.
Yeah, and Avery, to your comment, to the email, the full text of all of the comments is in Annex E.
Right, I understand. And I do have a question, and it's good to point that out to people. So that helps, although you can also still go back to the website to find them. I then took the document template, the one that has the Appendix E that's being mentioned, and cut in the text from Snapshot 1, Snapshot 2 into that document. I know that's most definitely not going to be the final text, but as opposed to a placeholder that said TBD, I figure some actual text that we could refer to. What was a better place to start. I also put a table in each one of those sections of the comments as I did the cut and dice and slice on them of the WT1, WT2, and other. And we can walk through those. I'm sure I got it partially wrong. I'm sure it needs to be modified, but in general, that's the way it looked to me. So I'm suggesting that after we review our milestones and see where we are, and see how practical it is that we'll actually be finished on time, that we then walk through the WT1, we walk through the WT2, and if we get that far, and I'm not sure that we will, we then need to look at how forward on WT1 and WT2 text. I see I forgot to put the 2 there in the thing. And such. We also probably need to look at, and we can do this during the milestone discussion, is whether, you know, we're at a point of one meeting a week being enough to get done. But I'll leave that until we talk about the milestones. Is that agenda okay with people with the caveats that I've added? Okay. One other thing I probably should mention, we did have Evan and I with Carla, Olaf, and Kurt Pritz did have a conversation last week about how to sort of make it to the end game of this group, how to finish it up, what to do. There were various recommendations on things we could do. Partly rolling up this document here was one of the things we discussed. We also discussed an idea that we may want to get to further in WT1 about at some point bringing in, one of the things that we've not discussed much is bringing in aid. And one of the suggestions we got from Kurt was perhaps bringing in a specialist, like someone from the World Bank who's experienced at doing that and could possibly even create a parallel function or some other group that would be able to perhaps look at adding some outside grants to the process to bring someone in to speak to us if this group wanted. So I'll put that on the table for now. We can come back to it later. But if this group would be interested in hearing from someone like the World Bank or elsewhere we should, you know, discuss it and decide. So, having blurted all that out, are there any comments before moving on to WT1 comments? Yes, Andrew.
To
Milestone. Sorry. To Milestone. But go on, Andrew.
So just a quick point of clarification. Are we, when you were talking about bringing in someone like a specialist from the bank, are you looking primarily at the structure, or are you looking primarily at the financing aspect?
I don't know. I suppose that would be up to the group to decide what they were interested in. It could well be both. I just don't know. The offer was made to bring in someone. I think it would be up to this group to decide what they needed to hear about in a conversation. At this point,
no,
I don't think there's any concrete idea on the table.
If I could add something from the call, I think part of the expertise that Kurt was offering to bring in had to do with, the fact that others before us have already been engaged in things like who are worthy recipients of lower pricing and that kind of thing. So perhaps this is an instance where we don't need to reinvent this wheel, but perhaps try and find out methods that have been successfully used elsewhere.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else on that before we look at the milestones quickly? And we only have an hour for this meeting, so we won't get very far. The date reminders, and this is the third page. I don't know if my changing the slide changed yours, but on the third slide ahead of you, if you're moving yourself, the date reminders is the public comment period in English ends at 21 July. An extended public comment ends 23 August. The board retreat deadline for content is September 3rd. Now, we had originally had a final report at, 13 August on our charter. We are obviously not there. I think that's a realistic statement. Final recommendation posted is that, I think we're obviously not, 11 days away from being finished. I think having our final by September 3rd for the board retreat deadline is not an unreasonable target. Of course, we would have to take that change in milestone back to the our chartering organizations, to the ALAC and the GNSO, just to get their, acceptance of a chain approval of a change in milestone. But is that something that this group thinks should be done? First of all, if we're not going to have the final comments, and that says it ends on 23 August. With the comment period that ended on 21 July, while through the grace of Carlo's extra work, we have some synopsis of it with translation and everything, and it's already been a week with translation and everything, we won't have anything on it, assuming that there's comments other than what we can get through Google Translate, until the beginning of September. So I open up to, whether people agree with basically Evan and I taking back a request to move our final recommendation back to at least September 3rd, and whether that seems reasonable to people as a date while we're requesting as a date. I open up. I don't see any hands. Does anybody think it's an unreasonable thing to do to go to our two chartering organizations and ask for this 2 weeks? Okay, Andrew, I see your hand.
Aubrey, I think it's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. The question is, and maybe this is the question that we should have asked ourselves beforehand, but do we have a clear sense of exactly what constitutes the final product? Because these are ongoing, as we've seen, some of these are ongoing processes. They're going to take some time. They're going to take, just sort of sitting down and hashing out with a variety of stakeholders. How far can we get, is my question.
Right. I think we can get we can get quite far. I think we can get to what recommendations we agree on, and I think we can get, and this is the test that Evan and I have to draft, which we talked about previously, we can get to a, what next steps are that need, you know, further work, whether it's in a rechartering of this group or in different groups, and we can make those recommendations. So I think we can get to our basic recommendations. All of them will need further work to figure out how to instantiate them, how to make recommendations on them. But we got to get to a point where when the board retreat comes, they've got as much substance as we can give them with as strong a statement of what we think needs to be done further as we can give them. So that they go into the retreat knowing what we've got to say.
So the answer is as much as possible.
As much as possible, but knowing but knowing that there'll be many things that need longer term work and that we'll just look at and say, you know, these are the basics of it, but we recommend that a separate effort be started to go further, you know. And so we don't need to, you know, type our fingers to the bone with the last minute trying to create things that should take 3 months. We should solidify the recommendations we've made, respond to the comments in terms of changing those recommendations if need be, you know, fill some of them out with details that we can develop. But then, you know, say, and further work needs to be done on A through G. Would be my take on what would be a good report. Remember, at this point, the main reason is to tell the board, we took your mandate. This is what we got done in the last several months on it. These are our recommendations at the moment, and this is the work we still need things to be. We still think needs to be done. And I think if Evan and I, within the next week or so, can get the first draft of that, what work we think is on the longer-term list, then that, and then review it with you all, and you decide that, yes, that yes. takes some of the heat off trying to finish those things, that may make it easier to focus on the things that can be finished. Any other comments on the milestones and such? So I can take it as a agreement on this group, and I'll put it on the list just to make sure no one who's not here doesn't disagree. But the sense of this group that Evan and I should ask our respective chartering organizations for a extension through at least September 3rd.
Actually, Avery, in the case of ALAC, the actual liaison is not me but Carlos.
Okay.
I can work with him.
And I guess, to me, it's I have to talk to Rafiq, who actually takes it to the council. So it's us and the liaison. Okay. You're right. Thank you for the correction. Okay.
I would be putting up my tick, Avery. It's just that I can't make the room do it. So I may have to mention if
count
I'm going
out
to...
Time.
Yeah. Just my computer refuses to behave.
So what would you like to say?
Oh, I'm agreeing with you. I would be giving you a little green tick, excepting I can neither put up my hand nor do anything else.
Okay, well then shout out anytime you need to. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Thanks.
After years of the GNSO that we did without Adobe, I'm quite
I don't understand why my machine won't behave.
I had trouble with my Adobe earlier, and then I did something, and then it started working again, so I don't know. Evan, would you like to take...
System error.
Huh?
I keep getting system error from Adobe for me.
Oh, so you're not in Adobe. So maybe then I'm going to switch documents that are showing now to the documents that I cobbled together from Olaf, basically had built the template. Then Carla added the all the comments to Appendix E. So this document that's now in front has all the comments appended to it if people want to go look. What I then did was I didn't touch objectives and background. Under the working group recommendations, as I said, on Working Team 2, 1, I just cut in the recommendation. And then on, and then at the bottom of that, you'll see for reference only, comments received to date related to Work Team 2, to be removed is later versions of the doc, just so people don't think this is going to stay there. I propose that we need a separate document, perhaps it's attached as an appendix, I don't know, that lists, that takes the formal review of comments being done by staff and then appends our response to each of those, but that's something that'll have to happen later once we have the full analysis. So anyhow, I took these, I gave each one a number so we can refer to them. So the first one I had for Work Team 1 was, it is not unreasonable to ask the broader registrant community to participate in supporting the expansion of the namespace increase in register fees. Now, that's only tangentially related to Work Team 1. It's a way, though, to it's a financial consideration, so I stuck it there. I don't know what people think about this, and Carla, you and I should probably start taking notes on these responses, so building the response document later is not quite as difficult. Okay, thanks. And I'll try to jot some down, too, but I'm terrible at both chairing and talking and writing. So do we have any comments? Is this something that we want to make a recommendation about? Is it something that we want to say, you know, this is a wider policy call than this group? Is it something we want to say, we think it's a good idea and recommend that it be studied by others? Is it something we want to say, we disagree with this in principle, that registrants, you know, et cetera? What kind of answer? And I see three hands, and unfortunately I didn't see which came first.
They're listed in the order that they were raised.
Oh, really?
Avery.
Okay, so you were first.
Yes.
So please,
what do you mean?
Remember,
what do you mean by increase in registrar fees? What are you referring to exactly?
I'm referring to one of the comments received.
Oh, okay.
And so I don't have what I refer to. I basically took this direct cut. We'd have to go back to the.
I can't help with that.
Okay, can you please cover that? Right, Carla.
Yeah, so that was from Danny Younger, and what he was proposing is basically that one of the ways to subsidize the program is by having an increase on registrar fees. He would not mind as a registrant paying, you know, a little bit more if some of this money went to this specific issue that we're addressing here.
Okay, so by registrar fees, what he's referring to is the cost the registry charges the registrar for the domain per year.
Or the cost that is charged to registrants as well. A few more cents per domain name that would be, you know, given towards. Because he mentioned that there was a reduction in fees, in domain name fees, transaction fees over the years, and he would not mind going back to a higher fee if this money went through supporting this this work.
Okay. Now, just because the problem there is that increasing the fee. Yeah. Okay. You have to, if there's two things, either you're increasing the fee on a per string basis, or you're increasing the ICANN fee. So it's something. I mean, I'd love to discuss this further with the group, but it's not very clear which area Danny might be referring to.
In one sense, if there are two areas and he's not being specific, we probably should look at both.
Well, the thing is this, Avery. If you increase the ICANN fee, then it affects every single domain registration, regardless of the string, in the GTLD space. Whereas if you're looking at increasing the per domain fee for, say, DOS community new TLD, then that only impacts that particular community. So you're getting the community, theoretically at least, you're getting the community to self-finance through the registration fees, theoretically.
I'm sorry, I'm dead this morning. I missed the differentiation.
Avery, it's Alan. I think I know what Danny was asking for.
Yeah, and I know too, I guess.
Okay, please. So, Alan, if you want to...
Yeah, my understanding from talking to Danny is he was talking about the nominal 25-cent domain fee that ICANN charges registrars, which I now think is 20 or 18 or whatever. And, yes, the intent is that every registrant in the world, GTLD registrant, would pay a penny more or whatever towards this good cause. That was the intent.
Okay. So what do people think of that? And Sebastian, that's what you understood as well, correct?
Yeah.
Correct. Okay, thanks. And I know your hand is still up probably for another comment. I just wanted to get that one in. Okay. Is there initial reaction to this? Perhaps, Elaine, that's what you wanted to speak to. Elaine?
Elaine may have dropped off the call. She put that in the chat.
Oh, okay. So, Sebastian, you had your hand up next.
I think we have to look to the broad picture of the money involved in all that, because at the end of the day, as we say repeatedly, it's the end user who pay the fee. Whatever money we are talking about, it's always taken in the pocket of the end user. Whatever, if it's a business end user or individual end user, it's from their pocket. I have no big trouble with what Danny is suggesting. I don't remember how I can decide to decrease the per domain fee in one end, but in the other end, I think, or I will be very happy to see people who get a lot of money with the domain names to put back some of this money. It's maybe one way to decrease the amount given to the people who invest in this arena to give back to others who need to increase the market. Then I am not sure that I have no trouble with that, but I am not sure that's the best things to do. Thank you.
Okay. So I guess in your answer, there's really two issues, two questions. One is whether this idea, standing alone, is something we want to add as a recommendation. And then two, it seems that you're suggesting that there may be another answer or interpretation we want to put on this to try and raise some other money from those who make a lot of profits as opposed to putting it on. So I guess we then end up with two questions. One is, do we want to include this as a recommendation? And two, do we want to come up with yet another recommendation dealing with some other way of gleaning some of the profit for the assistance of others? Elaine.
Good morning. I'm not sure if anybody addressed this already because it dropped off the call, but my concern with this recommendation is it's not clear if Danny is suggesting that we raise the fees on the current GTLDs or if he's saying going forward with new GTLDs, the fees would bump up and that money would be used for future applications.
I assume he meant on the current, but we can certainly confirm that.
There's a problem with that in that the new GTLD program is supposed to be self-supporting and we're not supposed to expect current registrars and registries to pay for this program.
Good point.
So we need to add that to our discussion if we add this to our paper.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. And that would be one comment. Okay, thanks. Okay, Sebastian, you were next with your hand up. You already covered what you wanted to cover.
Yeah, I covered, but I would like to answer what Ellen said, but I will do at the end of the call.
Okay, great. Okay, Alan.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I was going to point out what Elaine said, that the original intent was that this be self-financing and the old GTLD owners not have to subsidize the new ones. And but Danny's comment was explicitly with the knowledge of that and suggesting that that be changed. He's talking about, if you, as an example, a penny of a domain, whether it comes from out of the registrar's, quote, profit, or whether you increase the cost to registrants because of it, it's still, we're talking about something in the order of, it's close to $1 million, I would think, a year. I don't know how many domains there are in ICANN's portfolio, but it's something in that order. So we're talking about a fair amount of change, even if it's only a fraction of a cent apiece, that could make a big difference towards this program if that decision was made. It is goes against the original GNSO recommendation. It's not the first one that would have changed, however.
Okay. Yeah, that certainly just could be noted if that's something this group wanted to recommend. But thank you. Andrew.
Yes, Avi. Danny also called me, and my understanding of it is the same. It may be worth considering if it's a small enough number. But the question for me is one of sequencing. If the program is supposed to be self-financing from the very beginning, then what would we do in the very first round? We've all agreed that we don't want this to be something that has to wait a round or two rounds or three rounds, given that we don't know when those other rounds might happen. And so it would strike me that we're going to still either way have to find some basket of financing, and my guess is some portion of that would have to come from ICANN budget if we're going to get this to move forward at the pace that we want, if it's going to be part of this first next round.
I'm only assuming that these are all elements of the basket, that Danny wasn't recommending that this be the only mechanism, but was recommending it as an additional one. And you're right, it's not one that might have a lot to do with the first round, though, of course, not knowing when the first round starts, one never knows.
Aubrey, given that that's the case, though, my question to the group is this a political battle? Because it would be a political battle. There'll be some people who have interests. They're going to jump up and say, this is not what we signed up for. Is this the right time to be fighting that battle? This may be a good long-term solution, whether we do it with new GTLDs or with the entire basket. But is this the time to fight this battle? I just don't know. But I perceive this being maybe a second-order thing, since we won't get money out of it in the first place for this next round.
Okay, thank you. And I see Elaine checked. I guess she's agreeing with that comment. Taylor. Hello? Am I still on?
You're there.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I had myself on mute and I forgot to hit the button. Sorry about that. At present, the problem with this concept, while I think I had a skim over Danny's comments, and I can understand what he's trying for. The problem is if you start playing around with the per transaction fee that registrars pay ICANN, it's going to cause more problems than it solves. The transaction fee is one area where there's two problems. One, it's the only thing that ICANN can actually do in terms of throwing us the registrars a bone if they want to get us to sign up to a new contract before we need to, as happened last year, for example. The other side of it is, while it's fine in theory to say X percent or Y cents or whatever from this fee should be earmarked for X, how are you actually going to make sure that actually happens? Because there's two contributions from registrars per year. There's the annual accreditation fees, which are split quarterly and then depending on the registrar size, and then there's the per transaction fee. The other thing as well is you get a lot of pushback from registrars who either A, don't have any interest in dealing with new TLDs and just basically focus on .coms. So I can understand where he's... Somebody trying to help something?
Please go ahead.
Now, just, I can see it getting more pushback than leading to something positive at this juncture.
Okay, thanks. I'd like to get Liz Sebastian, the last word on this one, and then let's move on to the next one. We'll recycle through these at some point, but I've started to collect some comments on where we're at on this one. Sebastian.
Thank you, Avril. Yes, I agree with you. When we take one of these, we can go back to the old policy about GTLD. Some part we agree or disagree, that it's not paid by incumbent at all. It's something that struck me always. But I would like to emphasize what Alan say in the chat, that if it's somebody we decide to have for next year, I will know how much money will come and can put the money on the table today, and we'll get back the money next year. It's not a big deal, I guess. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to the next one. As I say, none of this is closed. Just trying to get through these comments and start working on where we're at. The working group should propose that each additional script proposed by a GTLD applicant would be priced commensurate with the cost calculations for the fast-track ISDN CCTLDs, namely $26,700 per script. So I guess, if I remember correctly, if one would pay the full cost or the regular cost for the first one, but for every incremental, there would be just the standard, the $26,700. Interesting idea. What do people think? I don't see any hands. And Carla, please add any correction or furthering remarks to what I say about the brief statement. Okay, I see Andrew, I see Sebastian. I guess you're agreeing that this is an interesting idea. Andrew. Are you on mute?
Sorry, on mute. I think it's an idea. I don't know if people got the thing that I sent yesterday. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit bandwidth limited because we're on vacation, but I think one of our goals is to try to get the scripts that won't be built out, right, and provide additional access that way. So I don't know whether it makes sense. I had proposed that we consider something along the lines of a Tier 1 and Tier 2. My guess is that there will be a lot of scripts that will be built out, and then there will be some that will be really left behind. And so I have no objection to considering a lower price for all new scripts, but if we are limited in what we can offer, I think my suggestion would be that we bundle so that we get the people who wouldn't otherwise be on the web. It's an access issue. That makes sense?
Okay, yeah, thank you. So basically, again, we have two recommendations that are similar here. One is this one, and then one is the recommendation that you put out earlier that recommends a tiered pricing for, you know, completely absent. Of course, in this case, we do have an evaluation of which one are going to get them in the first round and which one aren't. But again, there's two similar recommendations. And we should discuss your recommendation, but I figured we needed to go through the comments today. Okay, I see Elaine's hand.
Yeah, so I'm absolutely supportive of the idea of bundling lower prices for additional scripts. I would want to know, and maybe Carla knows, what this pricing for these CCTLD IDNs was based on, if that's purely cost recovery or if there's another way to look at what is the true cost of adding another script. That would simply be an evaluation of, I guess it would be a contention evaluation more than anything else, because I guess the technology would still be the same and the business model might still be the same. Those are questions I'd have
right
about that.
Carla, do you have any information on that?
No, I don't have any. What I understand is the whole cost was done based on single TODs. Single application.
TLD.
Yeah. Yes, I understand what Elaine is asking. I don't have the answer to that.
Okay, thanks. Is that an answer that you think could be got?
I think we need to look into it, how the costing model would have to be modified to accommodate additional scripts that were lowering the price, because some of the costs are fixed, regardless of how many TODs a specific applicant applies.
Yeah, as far as I know, on the CCTLD, that was based on the cost recovery model for what it took a CCTLD, but they had a much simpler evaluation model than the GTLDs have, or at least that's as I've understood the argument. Yes, Alan?
Yeah, this is another case where it goes against, I'm not sure it was the GNSO principle, but certainly goes against the initial cost modeling that ICANN did that says every TLD will cost the same thing. What we don't know, maybe Carla does, or maybe I'm not sure, is to what extent that calculation presumed that some TLD operators would be applying for multiple scripts simultaneously. If they factored that in and said, yes, we expect 10 applications, which will be each done in 10 scripts, which is 100 fees, then it would raise the prices. If they didn't make that assumption, then adding on scripts for a reasonable, marginal cost isn't a perturbation of the model itself. So, more understanding of how the cost modeling was done would tell us whether this is asking for money back, or is in fact just a good idea that we've come up with now, separate from the original price modeling.
Okay, thanks. So basically, Cheryl agreeing, did the cost model take into account things that may or may not be called variance in different scripts?
Yeah, I'm not sure variance is the right word for, in fact, different scripts, but yes, versions, if not variance.
Versions of the same TLD in a different script, which normally takes us into that other bear trap that's waiting for us all when we talk about new GTLDs and IDNs and multiple scripts, which is the variant problem, which was the subject of a previous call I was on. Elaine, is your hand still up from before?
No, I had one more question, I'm pretty sure I saw similar comments on this topic in the DAG 4 comment postings, and so I'm wondering if it makes sense for us to try to delve into this specifically for our working group, or if, Carla, if you can let us know if that's being considered or recommended to the board, just in for the DAG in general.
Okay, thank you. Okay, come back to this one again. I've written down some points. I'm sure Carla has written down some. We'll combine what we've done and, ask people to think about it some more. We'll come back through these.
Avery, can I just make one comment?
Sure.
So if we had an application process in which we allowed bundling, so for example, I apply for .carla for a certain price and automatically I get .carla in Chinese and other scripts at a lower price, we will automatically assume that every applicant that has one string has the right to the strings in other languages, right? So it's not only a change in cost, it is also a change in the overall approach.
Yes, good point.
To the TOD, right? Who has the right to, and which also would imply that, for the current TODs, like .Asia, has the right to have .Asia in all of the other scripts.
You're right, and that is a very open and contentious discussion at the moment.
Yes.
Andrew?
Carla, I'm not sure that we're going as far as you're saying. I think that we don't need to answer the question about whether or not people will have a presumed right to the script in part, because I don't know if we can offer that at this stage, given the politics of things. It may be a good thing from the perspective of the user, but... I just think that this is one of the reasons why I think if we focus a little bit on some of the underserved scripts, it'll help us. If there is an incentive to do it, then at least that means that more people are going to look at it. There'll be more competition for it. I don't know if we need to answer the question yet, whether or not there's any presumed rights that if you get Doc Carla in Latin script, that you would get Doc Carla in any other script at all. Just that you would have the ability, if there was, if you wanted to apply for them and you applied for a bundle of them, that you would, you could get the a bundled price for some of the smaller scripts or some of the IDN scripts.
I believe that this one, and I think this may have been in the contents of so many people's others, this one would be very politically controversial, partly because those who are not at a financial disadvantage plan or perhaps have the thought of doing multiple applications. But then the question is, a disadvantaged community needs, you know, how many? And do they have a need for the multiple languages earlier than others? And so this one would run into... The first concept we had of bundling was one where several different scripts working together with a common, you know, technical support and back-end perhaps and such were applying for several different scripts in either the same script or different CLDs, either the same script or different scripts. But the notion that we're opening up an easing of the way to get the same script in multiples falls into a very politically contentious area at the moment. Alan, I see your hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to follow on that. The implications, as Carla implies, are even stronger in that not only might people think they have the right, but for the marginal type of cost that has been talked about in this suggestion, why would someone not add another dozen, half a dozen scripts on if they think there's going to be a market for them for it? And then we also have a situation where scripts are going to end up being dominated by wealthy Western countries, and which, again, is politically charged. So this one is a nice idea, which probably is not going to survive our scrutiny unless we could figure out a way to do it just for disadvantaged applications, and I'm not convinced that's really worth a lot.
Okay, thanks. I'd like to move on to the next one. As I say, we'll circle back to all of these. We've only got 12 minutes left, so this might be the last one we handle in this call. There was maybe there's not a lot to do on this one. Supportive of the staggered fee approach recommended by the working group and the use of some portion of any auction proceeds to provide a partial refund for application fees to qualified applicants. Since the minimum annual fee of $25,000 would likely be very challenging for some disadvantaged applicants, NUSTAR also supports the elimination or reduction of fees for disadvantaged applicants, but only in circumstances where registration volumes do not support payment of the annual minimum. So I guess this one is basically a support of our ideas, but the addition of a constraint as to under what conditions the reduction would occur. Alan, is your hand up anew, or is that a remainder?
Yeah, no, this is a new one.
Okay,
I strongly support this one. It was part of the original package that I put forward at the very beginning of this work group. And I think I also suggested that this reduction or elimination of this fee could also be put together with a deferring of the 185 application fee that is could be spread out over a number of years, going along with this one. So I think this one has a fair amount of potential benefit at minimal costs.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else want to comment on this one, or should I move forward to get one more in at this point? Okay, let me take one more then. And this one, okay, the whole thing is there, but there were two important points that need to be taken into account prior to issuance of any final report. And their first point I have dubbed down as the WT2 issue, so I'll skip it here. Second, while fully supportive of the need to ensure the protection of registrants in the event of registry failure, the primary reliance on ICANN on a financial instrument is misguided. There are other mechanisms besides mere financial instruments that exist to safeguard registrants' interests in the case of registry failure. While ICANN's application fee may represent a barrier to enter from a other support mechanisms exist in the potential case of a registry failure and how they could be made available. So I guess a solution to this, and I see Elaine's hand, a solution to this one could fall both in working team one and two space, but listing the issue definitely falls in one. Yes, Elaine.
Thanks. Yes, this is another point I fully agree with, that financial instrument requirements are beyond what I think is reasonable or necessary to keep a registry running. But again, I wonder, this, in my mind, this goes beyond just advantaged applicants. I think this should apply to all new GTLDs. And so I think we should make a note of this in our report, that we support the idea, but I don't think it should just be exclusive to disadvantaged applicants.
Okay, and certainly we can, I mean, our charter is, of course, to pay attention to the disadvantaged applicants, but we could certainly include something as a footnote sort of saying, you know, that this should be considered for all applicants, but that would be sort of outside our mandate a little. But if we do want to support it for, you know, the financially challenged applicants, we should specifically say so. I think we need to specifically say so. Any other comments on this one? So on several of these we've already marked that there is some support for it, which means some change to the WC1 text. I want to stop going through these now because we're almost at the end of our hour, and we'll start from where we left off at the next call. What I'd like to move for a second is the way forward on our two bits of text and the rest of the report. One question I have is, one meeting a week enough for us to finish, even with asking for an extra 2 weeks? And if not, then we need to figure out when and how. Or do we want to go back to lengthened meetings if we can? So that's another question I have. And then two, I'm not sure that being divided into WT1 and WT2 makes that much sense anymore, because, again, we're all trying to finish it together, though it does make sense for there to be one or two people on each of these topics sort of holding the pen, perhaps in terms of updating the document, hopefully each week, to sort of keep up with the discussion. I wonder what people think about that and whether that makes sense to the pen holders, because this document, even, okay, 11 days was too short. Even a month seems really short at this point. So, comments? No comment. Is there agreement to lengthening this meeting to a 90-minute meeting? Oh, now I see hands. Okay, Elaine.
Yeah, I think we need more time, and I think it would be very useful if we had an outline of what exactly we want to add to the document so we can work through that. I think saying that we have more work to do, it's true, but it's not very helpful in guiding that work to get done.
Okay, thanks. Well, I think part of the outline of what we need to add is coming out of response to the comment. So that's partly developing, but you're right. Michaela?
The only thing I would, just in relation to longer calls, if you're going to be planning to do longer calls, could we look at when, at the times? The only reason, I know I haven't been making a lot of these calls, but I just realized the other day that I'm the only registrar in this group, so I have to vow to make a bigger effort.
Okay, thanks. So if you do longer calls or other calls, you'll have to go through then.
Because I'm chairing a meeting normally at three, at what, straight away
right
after
after
this.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So okay.
I can't miss it, obviously.
Yeah. That's how I feel about this call, based on the call I had before. Andrew.
I am happy to spend more time, whether that's two calls a week or whether that's a longer call each week, if that's what's necessary. What I think I asked about earlier in this call was to try to give us a sense of what our goal line is. And I know that it's a little bit fuzzy, and I know that it was perhaps unfair to pin you down, but I think that'll help us an awful lot. A lot of these issues are interconnected, and a lot of things, you know, I mean, realistically, we have to start pushing things to the side and say, we're going to include this, we're not going to include this, what does the finish line look like? And so that would really help. I think it'll make the calls more more productive, you know. That's just my suggestion.
Okay. Sorry this call was unproductive.
No, that's not what I meant.
We are moving through things very slowly, which is true.
I'm just trying to give us more, to be able to work more. I know we've got an outline. I'm just trying to see if there's a way that we can do it so that we check things off, so that the document takes shape. You know, at the end of the calls, the document has more shape. It's not that the calls aren't productive. So, didn't want to give you that impression.
We weren't actually trying. Okay, so it sounds to me like more time would be good. Adding time to this call is not practical. What about the notion of trying to find time for a second hour or a second hour and a half, and taking to heart the fact that you basically would like a bit more structure to be done on the document? I promise to put some time on the document between every call to try and bring out those questions and get those answers. Michaela.
I'd be in favor of a second call at some other point during the week, even if it's, whether it's an hour or a long or a 90 minutes or whatever. I think also as well, bearing in mind the location of the various participants, I think having it earlier than this time of the day is probably going to cause issues for people.
Okay. Yeah. Gisela, can I ask you to put out a doodle poll for that? For, at this point, our next meeting is still next Monday, but to try and come up with a second call starting next week, following through to at least the end of this month. Can I ask you to, and perhaps you can work with the fee, and you know best when there might be open spaces for the participants of this call.
Absolutely. Every second call starting next week, I'll send a doodle poll out. Will this be a 60-minute or a 90-minute call?
I would look for a 90.
90-minute call,
fine. If
we can't
find a 90, then we'll drop back to a 60, but yeah.
And we're maintaining Tuesday, 1300 UTC, which is the current time.
Yes, I would. Yeah, this one seems to work for many of the people, so I would not want to get rid of it, but I understand that we can't lengthen it.
Okay, fine.
Okay, thank you. So, Evan, Carl, and I will probably talk about the document some more, see what we can do to structure it. I'll commit to by next week, having built at least an outline of the future work section so that it's something that people can look at. I also ask people to continue working online, so please respond to Andrew's suggestion online, but please also respond to the document that I sent out with comments, with text changes, with proposed blocks of text to add into various places, anything that occurs to you to contribute that'll take this even baby steps forward would be helpful. And as I said, I'll work with Carla and Evan to make sure that whichever one of us has the bandwidth to update the document does so that we keep the document moving forward.
Avery, this is Carla.
Yes, Carla.
For the applicant guidebook public comments, we have a structure that we use to address comments. I'll be happy to share that with you if you think it's beneficial just to structure how people give feedback.
Certainly, yeah. Why don't you and I and Evan talk about that, and then we can present it to the group, you know, once we understand what we're presenting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm still here. It's just this doesn't seem to be the kind of meeting where two chairs would have really helped.
Yeah, and I apologize for being such a microphone hog.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I thank you all for participating, and let's just keep working towards it.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.